the OTB Podcast Network.
Right, here's Shane's guide to the top five things that you need to watch for tip off, ahead of tip off.
Break off. I'm remarkably excited. I don't know about anyone else. I'm hoping that these top five things to look out for at the Crucible, at the World Snooker Championship, will get those people who aren't excited a little bit excited for the World Snooker Championship, because it's the greatest few weeks in sport. 17 days at the hallowed Crucible Theatre in Sheffield. I've been there a couple of times myself, and the history is dripping from the walls. You can feel Alex Higgins' tears in 82. You can feel Dennis Taylor's black ball cue over the head and glasses upside down in 85. Stephen Hendry's slippers under the table, he won that often. And there were surprises over the years too. Joe Johnson beating Steve Davis in 86. You had John Parrott beating Stephen Hendry in 91. Peter Ebdon winning. Sean Murphy winning in 05 as a qualifier. So since 1977, the Crucible has hosted this World Snooker Championship. And just what an event it is. So I'm excited to bring everyone on this little journey, Ger, and I hope everyone gets excited for it, because it's quite a tournament.
Before we get into your top five, two very quick snooker questions. There's no Irish people this year?
No. Now, Gerald Green has been in qualifying and remains to be seen how he gets on. But unfortunately, Ken Doherty went out of qualifying. Aaron Hill, the youngster from Cork, went out of qualifying. Fergal O'Brien losing as well. So it looks like no Irish interest at the Crucible. So 32 players take to the bays, and 16 of the top 16 in the world, and 16 qualifiers. They're still qualifying ongoing, actually, today and tomorrow. Judgment Day, they call it. So there will be 32 players ready to go on Saturday.
And my last question is, Stephen Hendry's much heralded comeback, what's the crack with that? Is he serious? Is he hoping to get to this level? What's happening?
Yeah, so he in order at the World Snooker Championship qualifiers, which take place at the English Institute of Sport in Sheffield, you have to play three matches, or win three matches essentially. So round one, round two, round three. If you win the round three match, you're into the Crucible. You're into the last 32. Stephen Hendry played Jimmy White in his first round, beat him. And then lost his second round match to a Chinese player, and unfortunately that was the end of that. So he's hoping at some point to get back to the Crucible, but I think he's a bit far off. To win that second round and again win a Judgment Day third round contest is just a bit beyond him at the moment, I think. So he'll come back next year and try again, and Jimmy White will try again. He's got an invitational two-year tour card from Barry Hearn again, so remains to be seen, but I wouldn't be holding my breath for Stephen Hendry fans.
All right, okay, so the top five things to watch out for at the World Snooker Championships as decided by Shane Hannan. Where do we start?
Number five, commentary cliches, Ger. So there are a number of things said in commentary by the various different commentators. You've got Steve Davis and Dennis Taylor and John Virgo, that you will hear every year. You can play a snooker bingo, if you like, at the World Snooker Championship. Get your beer or your coffee or whatever you want to drink and take a sip every time one of these is said. So nerves set in when we move to the one table format. So the one table format is when the semi-finals happen and all of the two tables become one. They often talk about the nerves setting in at the one table formats. That's one. We always have a knowledgeable crowd inside the Crucible. So this is when the players have potted the ball that wins them the frame, mathematically speaking, of course, and the crowd starts clapping. Now, the commentators always point out that the crowd are very knowledgeable inside the Crucible, but in fact, they're just listening to the BBC feed inside their earpieces, telling them that that is the ball that wins the frame. So they give them a little bit too much credit, I think. That's always one every single year. Betwixt and between is another one. So where a player has left a ball kind of in the middle of no man's land, between where he wants to be, betwixt and between is definitely one. If you take a drink every time you hear betwixt and between, you're going to be fairly wrote off by the end of day one of the World Snooker Championship. Into the heart of the pocket is another. One of the best players in the world with a rest. You'll hear that very often. If Kyron Wilson is playing, every time the rest is mentioned, you'll be fairly loaded as well. He couldn't have picked up the cue ball and put it in a better position with his hand. This one is probably one of the more common commentary cliches at the World Snooker Championship. One of the most tiresome, but I absolutely love hearing it. And the absolute classic from the one and only John Virgo. So this applies to colour balls, but mainly the cue ball. I don't know if you've heard of ASMR, Ger. Are you familiar with ASMR?
No, go for it.
So it's autonomous sensory meridian response. So it's a tingling sensation that typically begins on the scalp, moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. It's kind of an area on YouTube, a little creepy area on YouTube. So it can involve people whispering or people in a microphone playing noises like maybe unwrapping a chocolate bar or something. But snooker, the sound of snooker is one of the best ASMR mediums out there. So if you're struggling to sleep at night, throw on a little bit of snooker. Throw on the voice of John Virgo and listen for the next 30 seconds, Ger. If you want it at home, close your eyes and listen to this as well. John Virgo with his absolute classic commentary cliche.
Where's the cue ball going? Oh, so close to the black. Where's the yellow ball going? Ooh. Red's, he's going to hit into a flat, so got to hit them right. Where's the red going? Where's the red ball going? Well, we say... Where's the cue ball going? Well, it didn't matter.
Is Soporific Snooker Sounds a YouTube channel all on its own?
I hope so. I hope so, but it has to be. It's just one of the more beautiful sounds in sport, I think. Like, you know, the ball hitting the back of the net in football really cleanly or smacking off the crossbar, they're all beautiful sounds. Maybe the sound of Wimbledon as well, the ball's hitting off the racket. But those noises at the Crucible, the ball's hitting off one another. John Virgo on commentary with his beautiful, crisp English voice and... the ball's hitting the back of the pocket, the little tiny ripple of applause from the crowd, the very polite ripple of applause, and the gasps from the audience as well. Probably the most beautiful sound in sports. So where's the cue ball going? Definitely the most famous commentary cliche, but that's number 5 on my list.
Okay, number 4, Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Yeah, so aiming for history this year, really. He, of course, won his 6th world title last year in really, really impressive fashion. That day, in fact, the semi-finals last year when he beat Mark Selby in the deciding frame, and in the other semi-final, Anthony McGill beat Karen Wilson in the deciding frame, was the greatest day of snooker I have ever experienced in my life. And Ronnie O'Sullivan is really aiming for history this year. So he's trailing Stephen Hendry in terms of world titles won. Hendry has 7, all won between 1990 and 1999. So quite a narrow period that he won them all in. Behind Hendry on 7, there are 3 players on 6. So Ray Reardon has 6. Steve Davis has 6, which were all won between 81 and 89. So an 8-year period. And Ronnie has 6, which he won between 2001 and last year, 2020. So a 19-year gap. So Ronnie clearly just going strong. He's one of those players that will be around for generations and became last year the only player in history to have won world titles in 3 different decades. So an extraordinary talent. I sat down to them different times and I've really got some good mileage out of these interviews that I did with Ronnie a couple of years ago. But I sat down with Ronnie and Jimmy White in Drogheda at one point. A few years ago, Ronnie had a great story about Steve Davis. So the Nugget, they called Steve Davis. And, you know, Stephen Hendry was a player who never really mixed with other players. He liked to keep that distance. Tiger Woods, I know, was someone who in golf did the same thing up until recent years, maybe. But this is a great story Ronnie tells, a lesson he learned from Steve Davis many years ago.
Quote, you said of Steve Davis, Steve would happily sit in his room and play chess or a board game, whereas I'd be out somewhere causing murder. I like to dabble, he liked to scrabble.
Yeah,
sure. I love that quote.
Yeah, but but honestly, he was so. Yeah,
Ronnie says boring.
He was, but he was like, you know, he was unbelievable. Switched on everything he'd done. It was all like, even checking in a hotel. It was all prearranged. Everything was like just mad with him. We just used to think, for fuck's sake, love yourself.
This is a brilliant one. I don't know if you might have read it. First time I was only 17, I had to go on tour with Davis to Thailand, so I get picked up. I'm going to try and cut it as short as I can. Go to Steve Davis' house. He gets in the car. He goes, hello, all right, gets his computer out. Don't speak to me towards me. Get to the airport. We check in. Still doesn't talk to me. Gets to the lounge. Gets his laptop out. Still don't talk to me. Get on the plane. 13 hours of Thailand. Gets on his computer. Like that for 10 hours. Get off of the plane. In the cab. Back on his laptop. Get to the hotel in Thailand.
Brilliant.
Check in. Still hasn't said nothing to me. Get to the hotel room. He goes that way and I go, he goes, all right, see you later. That was 20 hours. Wow. I said he must be so comfortable in his own skin, he doesn't feel the need to actually make small conversation. And since that day, I've loved him ever more.
Yeah.
He total blanked me for 20 hours. No, he was a 17-year-old in awe of the Nugget.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's gone, have some of that. That was one of the best lessons I've ever had in my life. See, so I want to thank you, the Nugget, for teaching me how to be comfortable in your own skin.
Didn't work though. Is that not the whole thing about Ronnie? Is that he's not comfortable in his own skin and hasn't, has at various stages, not been comfortable in his own skin, and that's why we're all so interested in watching him and whether or not he is going to fulfill the potential that he had. And ultimately, he has fulfilled the potential. That's why the story is so amazing.
Yeah, he's kind of become more comfortable in his own skin, I think, as he's got older. Like, he's got to a period in his life now where, you know, he doesn't really drink much. You know, he's off the drugs. He's in fact, taken up a different addiction, which is running, and is obsessed with running. If you follow him on Strava, he's just constantly out and about, and really into nutrition, diet, nutrition. He's just set up a shop where he's selling some of his memorabilia online as well. So he's got a few different business interests, and someone who's kind of focused more. He enjoys snooker more, I think, and that's why he won the World Snooker Championship last year. He's certainly more comfortable in his skin now than he used to be. So that's definitely something we need to watch out for. I did mention, sorry, I need to apologise to Mark Allen, because of course there is Irish interest in the World Snooker Championship. Mark Allen, the Antrim man, will be in action. And you wouldn't rule out Mark Allen doing a bit of a run at the World Snooker Championship this year, because he's always thereabouts. He's a former Masters champion. So Mark Allen's certainly one to watch out for. But yeah, number four on my list, Ronnie O'Sullivan and his bid to make history, Ger.
Mark Allen living in Dublin, I think, is he?
Would Sean Murphy's living in Dublin?
Sean Murphy,
I'm not sure,
sorry,
if Mark,
Sean Murphy,
yeah, Sean,
sorry,
Murphy's,
yeah,
living,
yeah,
in Dublin, but
I'm mistaking.
We can count Sean Murphy as Irish, maybe, as well. I'm sure. We'll,
okay,
we'll take him.
Number three is the Thunder from Down Under.
Yes, Neil Robertson. What an extraordinary talent! Now, Neil Robertson won the World Championship back in 2010, and everyone kind of thought from that point on, well, he's going to win loads more. He's so talented, he can't not win loads more. Left-handed player. But the decade that followed left a bit of disappointment. Now, not in ranking title terms. He's won 20 ranking titles, but he certainly has underachieved at the Crucible Theatre. He's back into insane form recently, to the point where he had a victory over Ronnie O'Sullivan at the Tour Championship last month. Six frames in a row he reeled off to beat Ronnie by 10 frames to 4. It was a thrashing in Ronnie terms, certainly. And that's kind of shifted the dynamic heading into this World Snooker Championship. Robertson spoke after that. He says, I've beaten Ronnie before, but never over a multiple session match. If I'm to compete at the World Championship, I have to do that. And like, the bookies have him down as third favourite, Neil Robertson, heading into this tournament at 11-2. Ronnie is 4-1. Judd Trump is technically the favourite at 11-4, simply because you can't rule Judd Trump out. He's such a talent. But a lot of people will be supporting Neil Robertson in this World Snooker Championship. There was an emotional video he had recently where he spoke about his father. He hadn't seen his father in 2 years because of COVID. He hadn't seen him for a year, and then COVID kicked in. And his wife managed to fly him over, get onto the Australian embassy, I think it was, and flew his father over. And he got really, really emotional in an interview with World Snooker Tour last month. And it kind of just brought home the impact that COVID has had on everyone, and just the fact that he hasn't seen his father in so long, and the impact that's going to have on him heading into the World Snooker Championship now. He says he can just relax. Everything else doesn't matter. He's just focused, ready to go, and everything else in his life is kind of aligning. But he's going to have some fans because of his haircut. So I want to bring you one photo, which is what his hair normally looks like, Neil Robertson. So this is what his hair ordinarily kind of looks like, generally, Monday to Friday, what we're used to seeing.
Expensive.
Lockdown is... Yeah, it's decent. It's grand. He's, you know, he's making an effort there. He's got a bit of Brill Cream in, I think. But this next photo, Jerry, is what Neil Robertson currently looks like and what he's going to be sporting at the upcoming World Snooker Championship, which is very, very impressive, to say the least. He's been very busy in lockdown letting his hair grow. Like, I wrote a poem recently about my love of the barber and how I miss the barber. And I think we all miss our barber at the moment, to the point where in the coming days, I think I'm just going to have to get the razor out and get someone in my bubble who I probably don't trust to cut my hair.
Your little brother, I think, is going to volunteer for it.
Well, after what I've said about him on air today, I don't know if I'll give him a razor and let him stand behind me. But we've got to the point now where we do miss our barbers. We miss the haircuts. We miss all of that. Neil Robertson is just letting it go. And I wouldn't rule out seeing that massive Neil Robertson Australian fro, the Thunder from Down Under, with the World Snooker Championship trophy held aloft above it in a few weeks' time. So Neil Robertson, certainly one to watch and certainly has to be considered one of the favourites for the Crucible.
Okay, the fisticuffs, non-contact, what?
It's supposed to be a non-contact snooker, but we all know that it doesn't always play out that way. So over the years, there have been a number of different incidents at the World Snooker Championship, some serious, some less serious, that kind of highlight it's 17 days, Ger. It's intense. You have to concentrate all the time. And the really frustrating thing about snooker as a sport, when your opponent is playing well, you have to just sit there and take it. There's no other sport like it where, you know, in tennis, you at least, you're actively trying your best to fight back, and football is the same. But in snooker, if your opponent is playing well, you just have to sit in the seat and watch and take it and relax, or try to relax. Like, there's been different incidents over the years where Ronnie O'Sullivan has sat with a towel over his head, where players have fallen asleep because they're just not arsed watching their opponent. And just they get angry. But the first image is from a couple of years ago, Ronnie O'Sullivan against Ali Carter. And this was a barge incident where it's quite tight in the Crucible Theatre. It's a small venue, 980 fans. When the two-table setup is there for the earlier rounds before the semi-finals, you have to walk past each player. Ronnie was absolutely not letting Ali Carter past without standing his ground and keeping his space. Ali Carter then says something to him, and Ronnie said, you're right, stuck the thumb up to him. And then Ronnie starts saying, I'm cool as a cucumber. And it was just awkward, one of these really awkward moments where the crowd are just cringing at this kind of face-off between the two players.
Who won?
There's been no love lost between them.
Who won?
Ali Carter actually won that match.
Right.
And knocked Ronnie out. So it was at the last 16 stage a couple of years ago. I was at that tournament myself, and Ali won that one, but Ronnie has a good record against him. Like, it's not the only barge that Ronnie is related to when it comes to the Crucible, because he often lives on a barge on a river in Sheffield when he goes to the World Championships. Instead of going up to a hotel near the venue, he likes his own peace and quiet. So he hops on his barge, cooks his meals there, sleeps on there, and just lives a peaceful life watching the ducks float past. So maybe that's the key to winning the World Snooker Championship, living on the water. But that was the first 50 cuff I wanted to bring you. Image two is from one of the games last year in the championship. Anthony McGill against Jamie Clark. Jamie Clark on the right-hand side there, the Welsh player, and Anthony McGill is the player on the left with the red hair, and Jan Verhaas, the referee, the Dutch referee. And Anthony McGill came over to Jamie Clark and said, you've been standing in my eye line. So there's a snooker etiquette, there's protocol. You know, when it's not your shot, you either sit down or maybe stand behind the player out of their eye line. Anthony McGill was under the impression that Jamie Clark was standing in his eye line purposely and moving purposely in a slight little different ways to put him off his shot. He says he let it go for quite some time in the match and then eventually just flipped, went over to him and like properly squared up to him. We've had comments on YouTube before. I've had comments laid before me where people have spoken about different OTB lookalikes in terms of Anthony McGill. So we have a photograph of Anthony McGill here that I just wanted to bring up. He is a great player from Scotland. A couple of people have pointed out that he looks like a certain OTB co-presenter that's normally on with you on weekday mornings, Jer, from Kerry. Now, I can see what people mean, but I've got it myself, even on a couple of different YouTube videos I've done. That previous video I showed you with Ronnie O'Sullivan and Jimmy White, someone commented, if Anthony McGill spent a little bit less time interviewing snooker players and practicing, he'd be much better, which I think was a strong hint that they thought I looked like I had ginger hair as well and that I was Anthony McGill. But
before the beard,
we leave that up to the OTB viewers as to whether myself or Owen Sheehan can pull off that look better, I think.
Alex Higgins is the last one.
Yeah, so this was an interesting one. Now, we can't condone violence, of course, but Alex Higgins was prone to outbursts at different points. This one wasn't even at the World Snooker Championship. It was not at an exhibition charity game. The referee was Terry Riley. It was a dispute over a foul shot on a blue he had called at the Spennymoor Leisure Centre back in June 2007, so 3 years before Higgins passed away. The exhibition game was being held to raise funds to support North East snooker players. And we all want aggro, we all want competitive spirit in snooker, just as long as it doesn't boil over. But Higgins punched the referee in the stomach, the referee bit back, and it was just a massive fracas. Higgins returned to the auditorium apparently 45 minutes after to sign autographs for fans, and the promoter apologised and said, I took Alex Higgins from the airport yesterday and he was lovely, so I don't know what happened, but was Higgins.
Can we take the photo back up again? Because the most important part of this for me is in the background. You've got Jimmy White looking full Ray Liotta and Goodfellas watching Joe Pesci shoot Spider in the foot. It's like, wow, look at Jimmy White just having the crack. And
he's enjoying it, isn't
people he? People appalled in the background. Right, and finally, quickly, because we're completely out of time, people falling asleep in the crowd.
Yeah, this is just, you have to watch out for this, the Crucible. So we'll bring the first image up. Three of the four people in this photograph are asleep. You don't pay tickets to go to a sporting event and fall asleep. I said snooker was like ASMR. It was a lovely little sound. But that's when you're watching on TV at home, you can fall asleep. Don't do it if you're at the Crucible. It's rude. Players don't like it. Just stay awake if you can. And then the last photograph, Jer, that I wanted to bring you, players can fall asleep as well. This is John Higgins in the background against the aforementioned Neil Robertson, the Thunder from Down Under, a couple of years ago. So John Higgins was playing against Neil Robertson in one of the earlier round matches, I think, at the Crucible. But if we can bring up that photograph, it's John Higgins in the background, essentially, playing Neil Robertson. he looks full on asleep there. Now, what he is actually doing there is leaning back and looking at the TV monitors up above him. But who let the truth get in the way of a good story ever? So
Not us.
People falling asleep, number one.
Cian Fahey has been in touch this morning to say, tell Hannan this is the best sound in sport. Any idea what that is?
Can they go again? Is that
one,
tennis?
One last listen. It's a home run.
Ah, beautiful. The crack off the bat, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Oh man!
Slight difference.
Lean into it.
Slight difference in the commentary, in the tones, and the modulation of the voice. Mm-hmm. And there'll be plenty of opportunity for everybody to fall asleep. But hopefully, they're doing so with a bit more information, courtesy of Shane Hannan this morning here.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.